Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
That's H-E-Y-Y-O.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and there goes another bomb. the Cougars lose the national title. Does the basketball national championship matter? And Vlad G signs a new deal with the Toronto Baseball Club, the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll begin today's show with just hot off the press. Mike Malone is out as the Nuggets head coach with only three games left in the regular season. This team won the title 2 years ago. It looks like they're going to finish as the four seed. They've been without Jamal Murray for the last couple of games, and still Mike Malone has managed to keep it together. So how does this sheep keep going without a captain?
10 seasons in Denver, a career 590 winning percent, 471 wins and 327 losses. That's huge. In 10 years, 798 games.
In a small market.
In a small market. And I mean, you think about who cycled through there, and you think about what Denver was trying to do before Michael Malone got there, right? You had guys like George Karl running it. You had Carmelo there. You had Chauncey Billups there. You had, like, it was, it's not a laughingstock franchise, but it definitely was just kind of there. Because you had Mutombo, right? You had that success in the late 90s. And then just kind of there for a while.
Well, no, then they had Carmelo.
Then right? They had Melo.
And they had
and
Iverson,
then,
Billups.
Maybe yeah, but all players. Past their prime. All past their prime.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you definitely have the hangers on at that point. And now you get Jokic, you get Murray, you acquire Aaron Gordon, like you build something. And you get a chip at it. So what really kind of soured everything for the relationship between coach and GM was when the previous GM left to go to the Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's not the same guy that built the team that won the chip. Let's be very clear about that. That championship was won because it was built by the previous administration. It's very much like John Gruden and Tony Dungy. Right? John Gruden won with Tony Dungy's players. We see it all the time. You make a coaching change and all of a sudden the light clicks. Or player personnel, you make a change, something happens. Overall, the roster has been eroding, right? You're relying on younger guys. You let players like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope leave. You weaken the core of the team that won you a championship. Murray's been consistently hurt. Jokic can't overcome that. Aaron Gordon's a fine player. Not Jamal Murray. He's just not. Jamal Murray is the number two on this team. He's a clear number two. And if you read the reports, what was going on behind the scenes was infiltrating onto the court. Coach and GM sniping behind each other's back, talking shit, refusing to deal with each other. Very catty. Very, very passive aggressive.
Well, he's gone too, right?
He is gone. So the owner, finally is like, fuck this, I'm done. You figure. Like, I can't take this shit anymore. Like, I can't have a conversation with you. And the conversation with you, and then relay the conversation that I had with him to you. It's just bullshit. No. Be an adult, get in the fucking room, and let's talk about this. As coach and GM. No intermediaries, no bullshit. No passing stuff through the media like it's a note in friggin' middle school study hall. Just do your fucking job. Both of you. Do your goddamn job. Or I'll find somebody who will. But the interim head coach, Adelman, name sound familiar, everybody? Rick Adelman's son. Hot commodity. Interviewed for two coaching positions last year. Did not get either head coaching job. So, it's a little bit that they that they want to make sure that he doesn't leave the organization. There has to be a little bit to that. That we have this candidate. He's going to get a job. Why let him leave the building? Why let him leave the building? So, give him a little run at the end of the year. Let's see if he can steady the ship. Let's see if he can keep the Nuggets out of the play-in. Because if they play their cards wrong, they can easily drop into the play-in.
So you don't think this was something that Jokic went and talked to the owner about?
He may have, but I don't think it's, I want Mike Malone fired. I think it's, I'm sick and tired of the bullshit. Because they're sniping on the bench now. It's bled from the front office into the locker room, from the locker room to the court for everybody to see. So I just think that eventually you get tired of that passive-aggressive nonsense, right? Eventually you just get tired of the bullshit, and let's just focus on playing. And that's what Nikola Jokic is, man. Like, think about it. He goes and plays, and then he goes back home to play with his horses. He goes and tends to his horses. That's who he is. He doesn't want to deal with the drama. He doesn't want to deal with the nonsense. He doesn't want to deal with the palace intrigue. He just wants to play basketball and win.
Yeah.
So, if this move rights the ship and steadies everything, that's great. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker, and it's exactly how I said it to you earlier in our production meeting. You now, if you like what you see from Adelman, right? You keep him. Okay, now you have a coach. Who's your GM? You're now saddling your GM with this coach. What if the GM doesn't want this coach? Well, then I guess he doesn't get the job then, does he? You may be missing out on pretty decent player personnel people, right? You may be passing on the next great executive in the NBA because he doesn't want your guy. In short, you're the New York fucking Jets. So, it's risky if you're the Denver Nuggets. You could have just wrote it out and then made the change in the offseason, but it must have been so toxic. We talk about the Suns being toxic, right? We talk about the Grizzlies being toxic. They fired Taylor Jenkins. What, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
This is... It's becoming an issue in the NBA, man.
Well, it seems like the NBA is becoming more like the NHL, right? Because the NHL are ruthless when it comes to firing coaches, right?
Yeah.
I think you just wait. You know, this guy won a championship with you. He gets max out of his players. You're heading into the playoffs. I just don't think now is the right time to make a change like this. You know, there's only 3 games left. I mean, you are what you are. You know, you kind of got to live with it. They decided they weren't going to give him an extension. They're not going to have him. And I'm just curious what went on there. Because let's say Jokic wasn't the one to go and say anything. How does he feel about this? Like, this has been his guy, right? He's never been coached by anybody else. And how do you feel about it, you know? And they do this while Jamal Murray's hurt. He doesn't have one of his best players. What was it? Like, what was it? Was there a number? Were they supposed to come in third? Were they supposed to come in second? Like, they're probably going to get a home playoff game, right?
So, unless they totally bottom out, yeah.
Yeah, and I just think the West could be won this year. I don't think, you know, I think they match up. They're a matchup problem for the Oklahoma City.
they're a matchup problem for the Lakers. So here you are, you know, it's not this. There's not like a clear cut team in my opinion. You know, even though Oklahoma City is good, they can be beat, right? They're young. They've never been through this before. And you're the veteran team. You've got veteran players. You've got guys that have been there. You've got guys that have won championships, and you're just going to oust their coach now? Man, there was a problem. It should have been taken care of weeks ago. I don't see what changing out the coach now does other than leaves you without a captain going into, you know, the playoffs, which is one of the most important times. Like, Dallas didn't get rid of Jason Kidd. Like, you know, the Knicks didn't get rid of Thibodeau. The Heat didn't get rid of Spoelstra. I mean, you're getting rid of Mike Malone, who's a guy he's coached LeBron James. He's been in this league a long time, knows basketball. And you think you could just replace him just like that? Yeah. I think it would put a sour taste in my mouth if I was one of those players. I wouldn't be looking to stick around Denver too much longer.
Well, you got to wonder if, you know, yeah, he has been the guy for 10 years. He's been Murray's coach. He's been Jokic's coach. But, you know, constant sniping between the front office and the head coach has to wear thin regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And he may, you know, Mike Malone might be their coach, but Calvin Booth was not the guy that drafted them, right? Yeah. Calvin Booth is not the guy that signed them. They have no loyalty to Calvin Booth.
Right.
They have loyalty to the guy that went to the Timberwolves. So, you know, if anything, you figure the players would side with the coach here. But if it's so toxic, I don't blame the owner at all for saying, I want this done. I want it over. Because it weighs on you. And you're not going to get the result you're hoping for. Because you're right. You're absolutely right. They can win this thing. They can get to the NBA Finals. If they had their shit together.
Yeah, right.
Get your fucking shit together.
Yeah, it just seems... I don't know. I think it was ill-timed.
I don't know, man, because you know what? You mentioned the NHL. Lou Lamoriello did this shit, right? He fired his coach, Robbie Fatorik, and he replaced him with Pete DeBoer, and they won a thing we like to call the Stanley Cup. So, like, maybe catch lightning in a bottle here. You know, maybe, maybe they're just listening to Lou.
NHL's formula. I don't know, man. I don't know.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
We buried the lead because of this late breaking news, but Alex Ovechkin, Washington Capitals Alex Ovechkin, passed Wayne Gretzky over the weekend, becoming the NHL's all-time leader in goals with 895 goals. A record that neither of us thought would ever be broken. Nope. Now, we've all talked about Father Time being undefeated, but now we've seen Tom Brady at the top of his game at 46, LeBron crushing it at 40. Now, Alex Ovechkin and his team, they're in first place, and he's become the all-time leader in goals at 39. So, Z, has Father Time gotten another L? And how many goals will Ovechkin finish with when he's all done?
Well, one record that is almost certain to never be broken, the assist record in NHL. I think there's about 1,800 to go. Yeah, there's a huge gap in between Wayne Gretzky and the next guy. So, you know, we like to think of Wayne Gretzky as this great all-time scorer, but he was really more of an assist man. He was a much better passer than he was a finisher. Just the grace with which he played.
That's what they say about you.
Yeah, well, you know. That's what I set him up. I'm a setup man.
Great
that's what
passer.
I set him up, you knock him down. Like, that's the idea. You bury it. You bury it. But congrats to Alex Ovechkin. Like, when you think about the arc of the season, right? How he broke his leg and barely missed any time. Man's fucking Wolverine.
Hey, he's a year younger. He's a year younger than us. Just one year younger.
Right. I'll have what he's had.
Oh.
Like, holy shit. Like, you know, like, today I could barely get through softball practice. My elbow is killing me. So that goes to show you, you know, what a fine-tuned athlete he is. Now, P.K. Subban and Stephen A. Smith can have their argument all they want about, you know, whether it's more grueling to play in the NHL versus the NBA and whether LeBron James isn't getting enough credit for what he does and how he approaches the game entering age 40, you know, as a 40-year-old. But you have to give credit to Alex Ovechkin. These guys are, you know, they're taking care of their bodies. They're in peak physical performance. You throw Brady in there. They're absolutely physical specimens, right? They figured out ways to keep their bodies in pristine condition, which is tough to do in football and hockey, right?
Wait a minute. You're trying to say Alex Ovechkin's body is in pristine condition. Did you see him after the game? He's got a beer belly. He's chugging down a Coors. He drinks Diet Pepsi on the bench. He eats fast food just about every day.
That's what primes the pump, man. In the NHL, that's what primes the pump. Phil Kessel's a fat fucking slob, but you know what? He's a great scorer. Dude eats a hot dog a day. Like, that's what he has in between. He had a hot dog in between periods. Phil Kessel's a fucking legend. So, you know, that's what hockey players need. You know, yeah, they're not all...
Yeah, he drinks Diet Pepsi on the bench. He eats large plates of chicken parm on game days.
Yeah!
Subway and hot Cheetos on team flights.
Yeah!
And he poots Russian vodka and beer.
Let's go! That's premier... That's prime 80s athlete right there. Like, I'm just waiting for the 8-ball. Like, when does that come out? Shit! I want to party with him.
Yeah, I mean, and I do think... Oh my God, Schwarber just left the yard again.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Fuck.
But it says something. Like, he eats like shit, but, you know, his diet isn't the best. Like, the dude's missed like 30-something games in his career.
I think Father Time is losing his step. He's losing his sharpness. This is the third player we're seeing like this. I think Alex Ovechkin has plenty of years left. I don't know if they're all be with the Capitals, but... I could see him getting to 1,000 goals. I mean, I could see him getting 100 more. No problem. Because I don't think he's going to Jager it, but I think he's got at least 3 or 5 years left. I don't think he's slowing down.
So he's not going to go to the KHL is what you mean?
I don't think he has to. I think, especially if they win this year, they're going to let him do whatever he wants, dude. Like, you want to come back and just be our left wing and be our snipe and be our our lurk and be our shooter, sure, go for it. Like, you know, people are going to pay to come see him. I was lucky enough to see him play against the Rangers many moons ago in the first round of the playoffs, where he was just a beast. Oh, now Bohm's going yard. Jeez. Oh, no, off the fence. Thank God.
Just off the fence.
So, and then I've seen him in practice, which was really a marvel about seeing this guy move around and shoot the puck and his just elite talent. So I do think he's got more wheels. I think he's got more ice time left. I think that Father Time is taking another L on this one. This will be its third one. And I look forward to him, you know, increasing the record and setting a new standard in the NHL.
1,000's possible. 1,000 is definitely possible.
And that would be a nice number to stop at if I was him. You know, that'd be my goal. Is to get to 1,000. And then I'm like, all right, I'm good. Unless you guys want me to stay, I'll stay. But
here's the thing.
What else would he have to accomplish? I mean, he's been the MVP.
He's not catching Gretzky's assist record.
No, nobody is. He's been the MVP. He's got his name on the cup. His name on the cup again. You got the goals record. You're one of the top, you'd say he's at least a top 10 player all time.
Yeah, probably mid to low, I would say. Yeah, somewhere then.
So there's nothing else you need, and Chris Sale's done. That's great.
That's great. Yeah, but
But
here's the thing. Like, we talk about Stephen A. and PK Subban, we're talking about what it takes to be a hockey player versus a basketball player, and how hockey is a more physically demanding sport.
Yeah.
Right? It is. It is just naturally a physically more demanding sport. If they allowed checking in basketball, okay, now we could talk. But he's got a forecheck. He delivers punishment. That's the thing. He's not Sidney Crosby, right? Sidney Crosby, he's dainty, right? He's getting away with the slew foots, and he's getting away with the little ticky-tack stuff. Alexander Ovechkin's a fucking freight train. Like, he is delivering the punishment at age 39, and he still does it, right? He may not do it with the reckless abandon that he used to, but he is definitely still delivering the goods. So to put your body through that on a day in, day out basis, you got to be in some level of shape, man. Now, over time, delivering the hits and taking the hits, it takes a toll. As you get older, it takes a toll. That's just another reason why Brady got out, right?
The toll is a toll. The toll is a roll. And if we don't get no tolls, we don't eat no rolls.
That's right.
Made that up.
That's right. Now, eventually, the hits, they hurt a little bit more. You get a little bit more sore. You eventually prioritize other things. That's natural. That's absolutely natural. But to be as prolific as you are at this point in time, and to be the best player on the best team this season, it's a good testament. It's an absolutely good testament. But none of these guys have any issue as far as, durability. Like, yeah, you get some nagging stuff here and there. LeBron's durability issues are stemming from the fact that he plays too much, right? Olympics, regular season, playoffs. How many additional seasons has LeBron played?
Yeah. And he doesn't miss time.
He doesn't. Absolutely. So, like, these guys have the longevity. And when you think about it, it's amazing that they've played so many more seasons than we give them credit for because of the playoff success. For Ovechkin, the Olympics, right? For LeBron, the Olympics. If there was American football, you're damn sure, Brady would have been on the Olympic team.
Like, I don't know. He seems so fit in his regimen. I don't know if he'd go outside of, playing. Because I think the most important thing to him was the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he would have done that. I don't know.
We're never going to find out, but...
No.
Yeah, that's the other thing. But you know what? Throw out a guy like Jamie Moyer. Jamie Moyer's pitched until he was like 48 years old. Julio Franco hit into his 50s.
Yeah.
Like, it's possible. Bartolo Colon. Like, look at Bartolo Colon. He pitched into his mid-40s too. So it's not all, TB12.
Torpedo bats are back, so he could probably come back and hit too.
He's ready.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan Brake Pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. You really care about what's under your hood.
But moving on to the national championship game. Houston lost the championship game in the closing seconds to Florida on Monday night. The Cougars were winning the entire game. The entire game. And I watched the entire game. And they lost the lead with the within the last 2 minutes. The Cougars also had a chance to tie the game or win the game in the final seconds. But the play call was lousy. The three-point attempt was not even really shot up in the air. And, you know, it kind of left a fizzle to the end of the title game. So what were your thoughts on it?
Ugly.
Yeah.
Ugly, 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 ugly. Oh, both
sides. For such a well-played game.
Yeah.
And it got chippy and it got tough and you had to have grit. For it to end like that, where you're doing dribble handoffs at the top and nobody's cutting to the basket, and then you're trying to pull up from three for fucking 10 feet behind the arc, and then you don't even throw it up because the guy's jumping at you? Like, yeah. Get it over him. Shoot it over him. Dropping the ball? Why would you drop the ball? There's nobody around you and you can't touch the ball. So then everyone dives in the ball and the fucking game's over. It was awful. It was probably, it's got to be one of the worst endings to a title game that I've ever witnessed in my life. So anticlimactic, where you have Florida who, you know, with their young coach and their young team are there. And then you have Houston who's been knocking on the door the last couple of years. They've been to 7 Final Fours and haven't won. They've got a great coach, a shuffling defense. They shut down Florida's best player. They shut him down where he only made 3 shots the entire game. He was a non-factor in this game. He hit 3 key shots that were very important to Florida winning. For the most part, they shut him down. And on the last play call, this is what you devise. This is the play that leads to somebody jumping up in the air, dropping the ball because they're worried they're going to... I'd rather you get blocked, son. Get blocked, and maybe someone gets the ball into the basket and puts it in. That happened in the North Carolina championship game, right? He shot the 3, and it was short, and somebody caught it and put it in. Right?
Not hard.
It's
not hard.
And you see Samson standing there like, what the fuck did I just witness? Did we just really just lose this game, and he just dropped the ball? Like, this isn't the schoolyard. This isn't the backyard. This isn't the playground. Shoot the basketball. Don't jump up in the air and drop it. What are you dropping it for? That doesn't do anybody any good. There's nobody around you. There's nobody can get the ball. Worst comes to worst, throw it at your defender's face. Throw it off of your defender and get it back. But to drop it? See, he just dropped it. He dropped it. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Sometimes the moment is too big for people.
Yeah, you know,
it exposes them.
It was too big for them, and it's shocking because they're a team that's been together, right? They're guys that have been together for a while on that team. They play excellent, solid team defense. They're not a scoring bunch, but they play really good defense. They beat a really good Duke team 2 days ago, and you were winning the whole game. You're winning the whole game, and it comes down to this play. This is what we devised. Samson, after all your years in basketball, this is the play that you come up with. No backdoor, no one-on-one. You were trying to go for the win from 10 feet out. And granted, I will say that it was poorly executed. But he did have an open shot. It's just that the player that was defending him jumped out and probably would have blocked it. But either try to get it over him or just let him block it. There was plenty of time where even if he blocked it, you could have still got – you could have – if your team didn't get the ball, if Houston didn't get the ball and Florida got the ball, you still could have fouled Florida. They would have went back to the – you could have still had a chance. There was still time. You were still time.
Right.
But that – awful, horseshit, dog shit. Well, the only thing that's good is that it was in San Antonio. So the people from Houston didn't have to travel that far to see that garbage. But God, get the shot up, man.
Well, shooting was a problem all day, man. Like, neither team broke 40%.
Yeah. Neither team.
Three-pointers? God damn, 25%. Like, 6 of 24 from Florida. 6-25 from Houston.
I always think it's depth perception in those games.
If you're playing in a stadium, yeah.
I think, I mean, listen, they were playing in San Antonio, and
I know they've played basketball games there before, but the court's elevated and the place is massive. I just think your depth perception, if you're a shooter, is really just thrown off by it all. Like, I just, you haven't played on something like that all year, right? You're usually playing in little compact arenas that seat maybe 11,000 people, 12,000 people. This thing's just like 80,000 people. And you're playing
fucking Alamo Dome.
Yeah.
Right. But you know what? You're exactly speaking to what I'm talking about here. The free throw disparity. 81% for Florida, 64% for Houston. You sink two more of those free throws, you're in overtime. Right? All, you know, that is an edge right there. So Florida absolutely, like, had a little bit of an edge there. Like, despite the steals, right? Combined 12 steals between both teams, only 6 fast break points.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting. Like, yeah. You know, when you're looking at these things, like, it goes to show you it was a very evenly matched game, even though Houston was winning the whole way through. Like, it's definitely the better game that we could have hoped for, right?
It was solid. Solid. Yeah. The game was solid.
It's marred by the end.
Marred.
It's awful. Marred.
Shitted on. It's just like it was such a. It's like, you know, finding a piece of hair at the bottom of your soup.
Nah.
Like, oh, that was delicious. And it's like, oh, well, there's a pube down there. Oh, that's great.
God, that's scary.
Can I see the manager, please? Yeah, so it's just like, it's anticlimactic. It's the end of the college basketball season, and there's nothing good to talk about. I don't know. After seeing how, you know, both teams played, I don't know if there's an NBA player on either roster, to be quite honest. But that's college basketball, you know, but... That gets us to our next topic, actually, where, you know, missing from the national title game were the Duke Blue Devils, who lost to Houston in the first game of the Final Four. Cooper Flagg had a chance to win the game in the final seconds, but the ball hit the front of the rim and did not go in. Cooper Flagg was the best player in college basketball this year as a young freshman. He will be the number one pick in the NBA draft. He did not win a national championship. Z, does the national championship in basketball matter?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
When we're talking about draft picks, when we're talking about the NBA combine, right? When we're talking about measurables, when we're talking about performance, it's one game. It really is one game. Now, is it the most pressurized game that you will play in? Sure. Absolutely. But he's playing for Duke, right? He got to the Final Four. Kid played in plenty of pressure situations, right? And doing so, he definitely equated himself well this year. So I don't think that's going to stain any kind of legacy that he may have. It's not going to raise a red flag. Like, if they got to the national championship game and if he got tossed, right? If he got two techs and got tossed, sure, now you'd have to answer some questions. But if we're talking about just like his skill level, his measurables, what he's able to do, what you think he's going to be able to do for your team, yeah, I don't think it matters at all, man. Now, I, you know, like, you have plenty of players that were taken over overall number one that never won a national championship.
Wow.
Right? Whether they were international players, whether they were just okay players, like a Michael Olowokandi. Like, yeah, Michael Olowokandi was taken number one. Weak-ass year. A weak-ass draft year. Michael Olowokandi didn't amount to anything in college. He didn't amount to anything in the NBA.
It's just crazy that we all gathered last night to watch a game between two teams, and we're both coming on here saying that game really didn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Not
maybe
the next
it matters,
level.
Maybe it matters for school.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it matters for college money. But yep. As far as talent, like, I believe Rutgers, who was awful this year, they have two guys on their team going to the top 10 in the NBA draft.
Oh, yeah. Probably top 5.
Does the national championship matter? And I don't think it is. And it's crazy how something that doesn't matter, we still watch, we still talk about it. Like, in the grand scheme of Cooper Flagg's life, he fell short in the game, right? He mm-hmm. took the final shot. He missed it.
Hit the front rim. Yep.
Doesn't matter. Christian Laettner, a guy who's made championship shots and not in the Hall of Fame. Guy's the best college basketball player ever. I'll debate that with anybody any day, all day. Not in the Hall of Fame. Won a national title.
10-year NBA career? Something like that?
Beat a really talented UNLV team.
Yep.
Beat the Fab Five. Not in the Hall of Fame. On the Dream Team. Guy is the only player, I think, on the Dream Team that is not in the Hall of Fame.
Won an Olympic gold medal with that broken freaking neck.
LeBron James didn't even go to college.
Nope.
Don't matter. I don't need college. So it's just interesting. I mean, I think it's a spectacle. It's fun to. Oh God, so bad. It's nice to watch.
We're witnessing a meltdown right now. We're just witnessing a meltdown.
It's fun to watch the NCAA tournament, watch all these teams and all these players from all these different colleges, but then you're losing that too, right, T? Because mm-hmm. you got guys transferring all over the place. The guard from Michigan, Donaldson, he's gone. You got guys, you got Lewis from St. John's, he's gone. So now all these guys are one and done, but they're moving to different schools. They're moving to different teams. They're going to the NBA. Does it matter that Lewis was the Big East player of the year? I don't think it matters. I don't think any of that shit matters.
It's good on his resume, but here's what they're going to ask Lewis. Here's the difference between Lewis and Flagg. He had that public meltdown to where Patino said, sit the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
He has to answer for that.
Yeah.
Like, Cooper Flagg's like, you front rim the potential game-winning shot. Like, it happens. So that's a technical thing. That's an in-game thing. It doesn't speak to his psyche. It doesn't speak to his
character. It's crazy, right, Z? Because whether he won the national title or won the game doesn't do anything to his draft stock.
No.
Doesn't do a damn thing. Not one thing to his draft stock. You front-rimmed? Okay. All good, man. Glad you don't have to play any more college games because we're worried you're going to get hurt.
Shit happens. It's literally shit happens. But I wonder, like, you know, let's compare this to the other cash cow in college, which is college football, right? At the end of the year, you have players who are saying, nah, fuck this. I'm sitting. I don't want to hurt my draft stock. When is that going to happen in March Madness? When are we going to see the guy who's going to say, fuck this. I'm going to go number one. I'm not going to damage my brand, and I'm not going to damage my body. Like, who's going to do it? Who's it going to be? Because you know it's coming.
I think it'll happen. I think the only thing I'll say about college football is that, generally speaking, the top athletes usually are in the national championship game. Usually. Now, I don't know what this new extended playoff, if that's going to happen, but your Trevor Lawrence's, your Deshaun Watson's, your Abdul Carter's, they're playing important games that matter, and they're showcasing their talents in front of everybody. Where the players on Rutgers, nobody in California or nobody in New Mexico knows who the hell they are.
We also don't have the issue that we had before NIL, where a team like Alabama can have three or four top flight recruits at the same position as depth.
Yeah, well, think about even the Miami Hurricanes in the 2000s with, like, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore, Jonathan Vilma, Andre Johnson, Ed Reed. It's like 10 first rounders on the freaking team.
And then their quarterback was Ken fucking Dorsey. How the hell did that work? Jesus Christ. So, like, we couldn't buy another guy. We couldn't buy somebody better, really, with all the money, really. But, you know, it's a different time. And, you know, it's kind of, interesting to see that it is starting to spread out a little bit because of the NIL, that it's becoming that kind of scenario where just colleges are going to spend, right? Teams are going to spend, organizations are going to spend to try and secure this. They're going to try and improve their team and improve their recruiting class.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we see that we're seeing that in Colorado, like Colorado, between them and between NIL and Deion Sanders, they've become a powerhouse out of being an also ran. Like, if you make the right moves, right, you can go from a joke to a contender. You just gotta, you know.
You're saying in football.
In college football, yes.
College basketball,
it's...
you're going to have a lot of people moving around.
It's just really...
There's not going to be a lot of continuity even between players. You're not going to be able to build programs like Duke. Remember, Duke used to build programs where you had guys stay. You had guys stay 2-3 years. You're, you know, and now Kentucky was always famous for the one and dones, right? That was always Calipari's shtick. He's like one and done guys, right? But then you had schools like North Carolina, Duke, where, or you could even say Florida. Florida with Horford and Joakim Noah. Like, we're going to run it back. We're going to go win it again. We're going to do
They did.
Like, and that was a time when they weren't getting paid, right?
Right.
But yeah, you're not going to see that anymore because in today's NCAA, a Horford is going to transfer. He's going to Joakim Noah is going to go somewhere else. JJ Redick, I don't know if he would leave Duke, but if the money was right, why not? You know, so we'll see what happens. But moving over,
like a Jerry McNamara, Johnny Flynn situation wouldn't happen today. Well, Johnny Flynn would be like, "Fuck you, I'm leaving."
Right.
I'm gonna get playing time. I want playing time.
Right.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel, embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Moving over to baseball, where we're not going to talk about the Atlanta Braves losing to the Phillies 5-3 right now. We're going to talk about Vlad G. Jr., who signed a 14-year, $500 million contract with the Blue Jays yesterday, an historic deal for the franchise. So, Z, was this the right move for the Toronto Blue Jays?
It's risky. It is very, very risky business. Now, it makes you wonder, because you locked up Vlad Jr. Okay. He's 26 years old.
Look out.
You locked him up till he's 40. Okay. That's certainly a move. He plays first base now. Eventually, he's coming off that diamond. Right? It's only a matter of time.
Mm.
What's the team like around him? You have Springer, who's older, Bichette, who's a free agent, and then look around the diamond right now. Ernie Clement is your third baseman. Davis Schneider is playing the outfield. Like, what are these guys, furniture movers? And then your rotation, like, it's fine for now, but...
George Springer, center?
Yeah, Springer, Springer, I think, you think he's playing center. But I think he's seen a lot of DH, though. Like, Springer's been seeing a lot of DH. Bichette, yeah, but he's a free agent. You bring him back, too? Like, what is this team looking like?
They have to bring Bichette back. They have to bring him back.
They're in flux. They're absolutely in flux. And by the time he's 35, he's going to be your full-time DH. That body is not going to
the wear and tear of playing on that turf, it's a killer.
Rogers it's an absolute Center? Killer. It's not the Rogers yeah. Center anymore, is it?
Still? I think it's still the Rogers Center. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is Z, I just think they had to do this. There was no choice. There's nobody else. There's nobody else. You're going to end up, you know, in a situation where you don't have a star. You can't get free agents. You've got to keep your guys. You've got to build it with your guys. That's the only way it's going to work in Toronto. You know, you're not going to be able to. It's not a sexy place to play.
No.
Nobody's really interested in being there.
Nope.
You're just going to be like, you're going to be like the Royals, where once in a while we get to the playoffs, and when we get there, we make it count. Right, the Royals made it count. They got to two World Series and they won one, right? And it's the same kind of thing. It's like, you know, you're not going to let this guy go because you're not going to get another player of his caliber. I agree with you. I don't think his best years are going to be as great as they want them to be.
No,
but
absolutely not.
He should be the Cecil Fielder type, Cecil Fielder or the Prince Fielder type, where his team is going to compete when he plays hard and he plays and he's playing his best. And maybe a 2-year thing or a 3-year stretch, but that's better than none. That's better than getting nothing for him, because that would have been the only other option, right? And I don't know what his trade value would have been, because wherever he was going to go, he might have been like, I want a deal or I'm not going to play. And then what, you know? So I think you're rolling the dice with that. And I think they were able to see this, you know, this offseason, how they weren't able to get anybody. They weren't able to talk anybody into coming and playing for them. They're like, man, if we can't talk free agents into coming here, we've got a guy who wants to be here. He just wants to get paid. So fucking pay him. Like, almost like a Frank Thomas Chicago White Sox situation. Like, you know what? This is our guy. Even though I think Frank finished with the Athletics. But, you know, this is our guy. We're not going to let him go. And he's going to retire a Blue Jay. Same thing with, like, Aaron Judge. I'm sure that the Yankees aren't going to let him go. He's going to retire a Yankee.
I'm glad that you brought up guys like that, right? The Big Hurt, right? You brought Aaron Judge up. Big dudes, right? Eventually, Frank Thomas's body broke down, right? Aaron Judge's body will eventually break down. What they have compared to Vlad G is that they're both like 6'8". Vladdy's 6 feet tall, and he's around 250. I'm sorry. Say goodbye to your knees, son. Like, say goodbye to your friggin' knees. So, it's only a matter of time. Like, even right now, he's got no homers on the year.
Yeah.
Something to be concerned about.
Didn't he have a down year? He only had, like, 28 last year, right?
He did. But that is speaking to what's going on around him. That lineup is not the same. You can pitch around Vladdy. I don't fear any other guy in that lineup.
They are in first place right now, but I mean, you know,
in the American League East, you're what, like, two games over 500?
One game.
Like, yeah, one game over 500. Yeah. The American League East is the snake that's eating its own tail. So that's what's happening.
Stellar performance, boys.
Fantastic. We won a game. We win two in a row. We win another one. It's called the winning streak.
It has happened before.
Yeah. So there just needs to be not just an investment in Vladdy, but now he's staying, right? So now you got to build the team back up. And I think that they have spent in the past. Will this change perception? Most likely it will, because now you don't have to worry about is Vladdy leaving. If I commit, are they going to let him walk? Am I going to have to do that? And I think there was some trepidation there with Pete Alonso. I know you were big on Pete Alonso going to Toronto. But, yeah, there's a little bit that uncertainty may be a little bit of an issue. Just like, yeah, we're going to be a nice, you know, 1-2 punch for a year.
Well, no, think about it from Toronto's standpoint, because like you were saying, his knees aren't going to hold up.
Yeah.
We get Alonso here, Alonso plays first, and this asshole plays DH, and we're all right.
Yeah.
We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Maybe that's what they're looking to do anyway still. But instead of them having A-minus, B-plus players, they're going to have to really go get an A.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to have to still get an A. Because he's not an A. He's not.
No. He has holes in his game, and the team around him is not great by any means. It's gone into disrepair. Bichette is kind of leveling off to who he is. Kevin Biggio didn't work.
Yeah, he's gone, right?
Biggio, I think he's with the Dodgers, if I remember correctly.
Smart guy.
Yeah, well.
He's a smart guy.
So, you know, they're trying to fill some holes right now, just like with minor leaguers and with quadruple A baseball players and George Springer. So it's like, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to get? And try and catch lightning in a bottle there. But, I mean, kudos to Vladdy. He got his money. But, I don't know.
Yeah.
$500 million is a shit ton. That's a lot, man.
Like, it sounded like nothing's going to happen. And it might even be a bargain for him, you know, come a year or two from now. But, you know, it sounded like it wasn't going to happen. He shut down trade. He shut down, you know, the conversation, the contract conversations. And maybe the fact that he doesn't have a home run 10 days into the season, he rethought of everything. But
yeah. Well, you know, also, does he have no movement clauses, no trade clauses? Do we know any of these things?
I don't know. I would assume he has a no trade clause. I'd be surprised if he didn't, you know, sign a contract like that. He kind of wants the team wants, you know, the player wants to protect himself.
Yeah, Bryce Harper is usually the exception to the rule, as always.
Yeah, but you know, we are, like I said, about 10 days or so into the season. Well, 13 days into the season. And don't look now, but the NL West is stacked. The Giants are 8-2. The Padres are 9-2. And the Dodgers are 9-3. So, Z, is the National League West the best division in baseball?
Well, they got off to the best start. That's for sure. Now, can you fully expect the San Francisco Giants to be there at the end? That's the question, right? We're not questioning the Padres. Yeah, they're strapped for cash, but they didn't trade Dylan Cease, right? They still have Cease, King, and Darvish. They still have Machado. They still have Tatis. They still have Bogarts. They're going to be a problem. They're absolutely going to be a problem. The Dodgers are the Dodgers of the Dodgers. I'm sick of talking about the Dodgers. We know what the Dodgers are, right? They're an all-star at every position, and they have a direct connection. It's like the bat phone. They can just dial Japan and get the next player. It's like 1-800-DIAL-JAPAN. Like, it's insane. But what we really need to focus on are the Giants. Right, you have Adames, you have Patrick Bailey, Chapman. How long before this team falls off?
Yeah,
because there's a lot of veterans, a lot of guys who look long in the tooth. Chapman's had some decent years there, but there's a reason Toronto let him go, and weren't really broken up about signing him.
And the A's, like, right?
Yeah, he's like, nah, we're good. I'm good. Dude, how is a multiple time Gold Glove winner? It's like, nah, we're good. We'll go with Ernie Clement. Imagine if they kept Matt Chapman in that order. That would be pretty good for the American League East.
But what was he, a 229, 240 hitter? Like, he wasn't really doing that great.
On average wise, but the power was there. He was driving in numbers. He was playing excellent defense. Like, that means a lot. So you worry about Verlander. You worry about, you know, like Robbie Ray. You worry about these guys that have an injury bug history. And, you know, also have a little bit of underperformance issues. Like, you get off to a hot start, but as the year weighs on, you have to be concerned about this. And you have to manage it accordingly.
So if that means you skip Justin Verlander a start, you skip him a start, right? If that means that Robbie Ray needs an extra day, give it to him. Because the history is there, right? The track record is there for these guys. And eventually, I see the Padres and Dodgers separating from the Giants. The Giants will hang around. Maybe they'll put up a fight and get the wild card, but they're not going to be, it's not going to be a three-headed monster at the top of the division.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the American League East, I don't really see anything Basura. There. Yeah.
Basura.
The National League East, it's...
Basura.
It's eh. I mean, we thought it was going to be a three-headed race, but the Braves got off to a god-awful start.
Awful.
Right? The Central, we thought very lowly. Both Centrals, we thought very lowly of.
Yep.
And the American League West isn't that good. So by default,
Angels still competing, man. Angels good. Six without Anthony Rendon, man. I thought that was their guy. That was their rock. Somehow they're winning games. You won games just despite him. Maybe him leaving was all we needed.
So you're saying I'm a bitch.
So you're saying I'm a bitch.
You're saying I'm a bitch. Coach, do we really have to play all 162? Like, can we kind of like trim this down a little bit to like 54?
Coach, my hip hurts. You just got here. Yeah. What the hell are you doing all this? Yeah.
I just scheduled my surgery. I just wanted to give the courtesy.
Just wanted to come by and say good luck this year. I think your guys are going to be great. I'll be rooting for you.
Jesus Christ.
I just wish I was there for that first conversation. What do you mean he's hurt?
I didn't even check
into my hotel room yet. What do you mean he's hurt?
Like, I would love to have seen Wash's face. You're what? What
the fuck are you talking about, man?
Get the fuck out. You just get the fuck out.
You just validate?
Keep walking. Get out.
Oh man, I'm just gonna gather a couple of things out of my locker. My favorite Angels t-shirt.
No, we'll ship them to you. Keep walking.
Yeah, but I mean, you were talking about all the other divisions, and yeah, I mean, I agree with you that I actually disagree with you. I think the NL West is the best division in baseball. I know they're off to a hot start, but it's hard to see how the Giants are gonna cool off. I mean, they're just playing, it seems like, just a good group of players. Like, yeah, the Braves are a bunch of stars, but they're 1-8. There's no continuity there. It seems like Buster Posey has put together a good roster, and they're not afraid to go head-to-head with some of these teams. I think we all can agree the Dodgers are going to be there in the end. And I think the Padres are, so they're 7-0 at home, and they look like they're up for the challenge too. So it's hard to say that anybody's going to back down. I could easily see all three teams making the division right now just by the way they look, right? I mean, you look at other teams, it's like, okay, yeah, the Reds are in last in the Central. I can see them bouncing back. And you could also argue the Cardinals aren't that good. And in the East, I mean, the Marlins are 5-6. The Nationals are 4-6. And the Braves have one win, and they're about to lose tonight too, right? And I agree with you that the And I agree with you, like, in the American League East, you got the Blue Jays on top, and that's not going to stay like that for long.
No chance.
No, and then, you know, even the Rays always compete. Then the American League Central, I think the Tigers look really strong, and everybody else is whatever. And the American League West, surprisingly, the Mariners are struggling. And surprisingly, the Athletics look good. crazy. Baseball's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I think... I like the fight. I like that everybody's up for the challenge this early. I think it'd be easy to take the Braves approach and just lose your fucking first, you know, 8 out of your first 9 games. But, you know, I like to see teams competing this early.
You know, it's important that you get off to a hot start, absolutely. But as the summer and ultimately into the fall weighs on, you have to be concerned. Especially with a veteran-laden roster. You have to be concerned about health. You have to be concerned about, you know...
And they're going to beat up each other. I mean, they're going to be playing each other.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Are they going to, how many games are they going to take off of the Padres and Giants and Dodgers rather? Like, how many games can they realistically, like, they, we talk about fight, we talk about compete. That's great. Fighting, competing, that's wonderful. But we saw the Dodgers, right, look to be dead in the water against the Nationals, and then Ohtani just flicks his wrist and hits a fucking game-tying homer.
He sure does, doesn't he?
That's what he does. That's what happens with this team. Can you withstand this? How many games can you realistically take off of this? Because both of those teams are fucking loaded. Like, I don't know if, I mean, you have a good collection of players, but I don't think you can hang. You haven't played them yet. You haven't had the luxury. You haven't had the pleasure. You haven't had the pleasure. The Braves have had the pleasure, and now they're still looking for their mouthpiece. So there's something to be said there.
And only two teams in baseball have lost their first nine, have lost nine of their first 10 games and made the playoffs.
Nice only company. Two.
Only two. I think it was the Rays and the Reds.
Christ almighty.
Yeah. So a good company.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's something to be said there. So, you know, it's possible. It's unlikely, but it's definitely possible. So I'm definitely concerned just because of regression to the mean, and eventually, you know, it's something to, you know, it's something to note, right? Hot starts, like Verlander, he left in the third inning in his San Francisco debut, right? So, is that what you really brought in Justin Verlander for? Like, that's going to be an issue. Like, you brought in Willy Adames. Is that the impact bat that's going to take you over the top? He's not Barry Bonds. He's not Jeff Kent. Willy Adames is a fine player. Eventually, they settle into where they are, right? That's
nice water. Guy, good with kids.
Yeah, excellent tipper. Excellent tipper from what I've heard. But they find a way, and they regress to their mean. They find their level, and for most of these guys, the level is just okay. Now, okay ain't going to cut it. Just being okay ain't going to cut it. You got to be better than okay. Okay gets you close but no cigar. And when push comes to shove, I definitely see a close but no cigar for the San Francisco Giants.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. Air Care Technicians, 914-315-1547.
More or less?
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either more likely or less likely. More or less, number one, Trey Lance will have success with the LA Chargers.
That guy. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh, man, how he has fallen. For a guy, like I said, man, for a guy who only played 1 year of college football, man. He starts out with the 49ers, goes to Dallas,
And now he's going to the Chargers. I mean, I think this is his last stop. I don't think he gets another team after this. I don't think he's going to play much. And I don't know. I don't think Coach Harbaugh will be able to develop him. He doesn't seem like he's that kind of coach. You know, I don't think he's going to be, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to develop him. I think Colin Kaepernick was an aberration, right? It was something that just kind of happened. And I don't see that happening with Trey Lance. So I'm going to say less likely.
Even with Kaepernick, they were still considering about giving the job back to Alex Smith.
That's right.
So that's all you need to know about that. But he only has 12 career games, right? In his career, he's thrown for 1,000 yards.
Oh, I'll be damned.
Yeah, 5 tutties for his career.
Man.
So good for you. Good for you. Good for you. But define success. Actually gets to play a game.
Makes a friend.
Yeah.
Buys a nice house. Gets married.
Yeah. Gets, you know, I don't know what success looks like here because Justin Herbert plays all the time. And even then, even when he's dog shit, like in the playoffs last year, they didn't take him out. It's like, Justin, we're going to go to the righty. But I'm righty. Sit the fuck down. Like, that didn't happen. So he's the guy, right? He's been anointed the guy, and he is carrying the mantle. Trey Lance may take some victory formations, but he may take some knees at the end of games.
So not fumbling the ball on that exchange?
Hope not.
That's the kind of success you're seeing there?
Like, the success level is low because the play time is going to be low. Like, the only thing, like, as a scout team quarterback and a backup quarterback, he's going to be getting Justin Herbert ready for the week. Like, I don't, you know, like, if Justin Herbert has a great year, we could say that Trey Lance was pushing him. That's what he did. Trey Lance was just pushing him. He was building him up, and he was making sure that he was ready each week. So, yeah, I just don't see it. I just don't, like you, I think this is his last stop for the UFL.
Yeah.
That's it.
Which seems like a good spot for him. I think he'd play well there. I think that's his bread and butter. I mean, for a kid coming from North Dakota State, I believe. Yeah. Man, it's a good thing. You played 4 or 5 years in the league, and then you went to go where you should be.
Yeah, completely less.
It's not his fault. It's not his fault. You know that the 49ers drafted him that high.
No.
It's just like it's not Zach Wilson's fault that the Jets drafted him that high. These guys were mid to late round selections at best, and that's what they're looking like right now. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's somebody got it wrong, and unfortunately you were on the wrong end of that.
And naturally, now like Sports Illustrated is distancing itself from that. Did the Niners ever really want Trey Lance in the first? Yes, motherfucker, they traded up for.
Yeah,
don't give me that shit.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Z. Is like that's what we don't know, right? We don't know we don't know who they really wanted. You know, they acted all excited and happy that they got their guy, but was that really their guy? Or was Zach Wilson their guy? Which might have really worked out for Zach there when you see how well Purdy plays. Right? We don't know. We'll never know.
Well, I mean, if according to the article, they were more enamored with Mac Jones. Mac Jones was there. He went to the Patriots.
He's there now, right?
He's in San Francisco now.
He's in San Francisco now.
Right.
Your wish.
But they were in the same draft class.
For pennies on the dollar. It's like,
what the fuck? You didn't need to trade. You could have just waited. You could have just waited. Apparently, nobody thought that one through. More or less likely, number two, the New York Football Giants will draft Abdul Carter at number three.
Yeah, and this all comes out because apparently Brian Daboll and Joe Shane
went to have breakfast with Carter at Penn State, and now he's also coming for a visit with the New York Giants this week. You know, the thing about it is I don't think he's gonna be there. I don't think he's gonna be there. I think that, so I'm gonna say it's less likely, because either he's not gonna be there or you're gonna have to take Travis Hunter. I don't think you could take Abdul Carter at three. I mean, what I have right now is I'm pretty sure Cam Ward is going number one to the Titans. I'd be shocked if that didn't happen. Right now, I've got Abdul Carter going to the Cleveland Browns. I would not be surprised if they went Shedeur Sanders there, though. And at number three, I think the Giants at that point will have to take Travis Hunter. I don't think you could take Shedeur Sanders now.
Not with that quarterback room.
No. Right? And then if by chance the Browns do take Shedeur, and then the Giants should take Travis Hunter, I have Abdul Carter going to the Bears at four, which makes the most sense to me for him. I don't see matching him with a defensive end with Thibodeau. I don't see what that needs to do. They have a lot of building blocks to do. I do like Genty, but I think after this whole thing went down with Saquon, I don't think they'll go that route, but I think he's very good. I could see him going to the Broncos or even going to the Steelers. But so I'm going to say less likely.
Genty might end up with the Raiders. I know he's enamored with them. They're enamored with him. Will he make it to seven? But you're spot on. Cam Ward's going to Tennessee.
Yeah.
So Cam Ward's going to Tennessee. They've canceled all the friggin' pro day workouts. We hardly knew you. Vaya con Dios.
That's a wrap. It's all
number
good.
Two. They're not happy. The Browns are not happy with their quarterback situation. They could take Shedeur Sanders. Deion is backtracking, saying he'll play, his son will play wherever he's drafted. Okay. We'll see. We will see about that. Mostly because New York dried up, Vegas dried up, Dallas doesn't need a quarterback. All right. The sexy spots are kind of icing out Shedeur Sanders. So maybe Cleveland. Awesome. And that brings us to the Giants, number three. Do you take Travis Hunter? Do you take Abdul Carter? Or do you trade the pick?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they need either guy, really. I don't think they need a lot more than just them.
Right.
They need a lot more. Yes, right. They've revamped, they've started to revamp the pass rush with Brian Burns, and they've started to do this, but is Abdul Carter going to be Michael Strahan? Is Abdul Carter going to be Osinu Manura? I don't know that. I don't think so. And I can't guarantee it with any degree of certainty. Yeah, Jonty, no. Nope, not happening. Especially after the Saquon debacle. Not happening. No. And then you have Hunter. Where's he going to play? Is he a corner? Is he a wideout? He can't play every down of every game. That's just not possible in the NFL. So he's going to have to figure that out. They're going to have to figure that out for him pretty quickly. Now, you may have like a gadget type situation. I know Charles Woodson occasionally played offense, right? But he wasn't an offensive player on every goddamn down. No, he was too busy being the best damn corner in the league. That's what Charles Woodson was focusing on. So it's, because he has a defined position and because they haven't been
investing in the free agent market, I think it's more likely that Abdul Carter's going to the Giants at number three.
Wow.
I think it's more likely because they have been investing so heavily in the secondary. If I'm Shane, I'd be on the phone. I'd be seeing what's available. Like, what package can you give me for this number three pick? How far are you willing to move up? Are the Bears that desperate to get a hold of this guy? What are you willing to give up? I could take him. I could be very happy with that. How much are you willing to give? Oh, the Raiders. How much are you willing to give me to move up? The leverage is there. You have the pick, right? And if those two quarterbacks are gone, that creates the intrigue right there. So somebody will be very enamored with one of those two guys. I mean, Travis Hunter was the number one draft pick, what, as of 2 months ago? 2.5 months ago? And, I mean, his stock fell by no fault of his own. Cam Ward's just rose. So, the Giants have options. The likely option is that they're going to take Abdul Carter. It would not surprise me one bit if they took Hunter. But, with a team that needs so much, it wouldn't hurt to listen. It wouldn't hurt to listen one bit.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an alleged superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at thefadestorewithdnz.com. That's thefadestorewithdnz.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and on our Spotify page. And you vote. And you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out in this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
The Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, really?
Ass whooping. Got their ass whooped by the Yankees.
Studs.
Completely. And now Nestor's on the DL. So,
oh,
joining Brandon Woodruff, joining DL Hall, joining everybody not named Peralta. So there you go. So Freddy Peralta is the only guy that's left. Congratulations,
Freddy P.
Good for you. Good for you. You had a guy that was relieving in Japan last year. He's now your number two starter. Awesome. Awesome. This guy here is dead. Cross him off then. That was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
Oh, first up, I have the last place Atlanta Braves. They decided to start their season off with a 7-game losing streak on the West Coast. And they decided to come back east and drop the first fucking game to the Marlins.
Dude.
And finish that series with a split. So they are now 1-7. And I'm sorry, they are. Hold on. Let me get that right here. They're not 1-7. I think they're 1-8. Dude, where are you? Yeah. They are 1-8.
It's bad.
1-8. And they're currently tied with the Phillies, and they'll find a way to lose this game. Their run differential is negative 12. And then I mentioned they start off the season with 7 losses on the road. We mentioned earlier in the episode that only one team has lost 8 of their first 9 games and made it to the playoffs. Only 2 teams have done that, and the Braves will not be the third. So if they don't win tonight, it's a wrap. Atlanta Braves, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, I've got the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
Firing head coach Michael Malone, who had won the chip for them 2 years ago, helped the team finish in 4th this year without an injury-plagued season from Jamal Murray. Just up and fired the dude. Denver Nuggets, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last one but not least, the Houston Cougars. You beat Duke, and then you're beating Florida pretty much the whole game in the national championship game, and you lose because you poorly executed the final possession where you don't even get a shot off. 7 appearances in the Final Four without a championship. That is the most appearances by any team without a victory in basketball history. Houston Cougars, you are my alleged superstars of the week. What do you got, Z?
Bang. I mean, great choices. You really can't go wrong with them. I got to start with the New York Rangers. Fighting for a playoff spot, right?
Whoa. What is going on with this awful team?
6 games to go, right? You control your destiny, right? You control your effort. You control your willingness to go in and fight for a puck. You control your performance on the power play. You control how hard you skate, whether you block shots, all of these things. Well, 4-0 loss to the Devils, where you looked like you were skating in mud completely. They looked like they were skating on ice. You were 20 yards back. Like, wait for me. Wait for me. Ah, it's in the fucking net. God damn it. You give up a shorty. You give a power play goal. You look goddamn awful. Not a problem, right? We will take care of it and we'll clean it up. We got Tampa Bay, who blitzed you for 3 goals in the first period. Good job, guys. You lost 5-0. So in the last 2 games, with your season on the fucking line, you've lost a combined 9-1. A combined 9-1! Are you fucking kidding me? They cannot fire Drury fast enough. They can't fire Laviolette fast enough. They can't get these guys to waive their no-movement clauses fast enough. They back up the truck. Back it up. Back it up. It's over, Johnny. It's over. New York Rangers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, Duke basketball. This was supposed to be the year, right? This was supposed to be the year that John Shire gets his pelt on the wall. You have Cooper Flagg. This is going to be great. He's the, you know, consensus overall number 1 pick. Best player in college. Oops. Houston 70, Duke 67. Would you have put up a better fight against Florida? I don't know. Don't know. And we never will know, because this team is probably not going to be around together very long. Duke Blue Devils, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number 3.
I stole one of yours?
Yeah, you stole the Nuggets, man. You stole the Nuggets, but that's all right.
You scallywag.
Yeah, son of a bitch. That's all right. I can find another one. It's not that hard. A lot of people. Oh, that's right. Ja Morant.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Your inability to realize that doing a gun pose after you got suspended twice for doing a gun pose
and told not to do it anymore.
Yeah. Fuck you, Adam.
Is that how the conversation went down? It's like, Ja, you're not doing this anymore. Fuck you, Ad.
Fuck you.
That's it.
Walked away. Self-pretentious prick.
Friggin' peanut head. You look a bowling ball. You look a bowling pin that was washed, not hot. Son of a bitch. So, is it defiance or stupidity? I can't tell with Ja Morant. Because how many times you got to be warned? How many times you got to be fined? How many times you got to be suspended before you get through your thick friggin' skull? Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I shouldn't be pantomiming the gun thing. And I get it. You're a shooter and shooters shoot and all this stuff. Yeah, I understand that. And people are calling for a ban on the taunt, you know, across the board. I don't know about that. But what I do know is that if you're a guy who was caught on video multiple times brandishing a firearm, maybe you should stop doing this particular taunt. Maybe that's, call me crazy. But if I got caught on camera multiple times with a fucking gun, I'd be smarter about what I put out there. And no, you're not the villain. Who made you the villain? Nobody made you the villain. Nobody said Ja Morant is the villain. That's just patently ridiculous. Just stop doing it. Ja Morant, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think you said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. And go to our Spotify page and vote. And vote. And vote. And vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.